Ladies, did you know that your ability to live and feel authentically feminine is connected to your sexual power? Gentlemen, have you ever wondered what's behind those days when she seems to shine from within? If you answered yes to either of those questions, stay tuned for The O-Spot with best-selling romance author Rachel Kenley and get to the source of your power so you are living a life of greater connection and joy.
Good evening. It is Wednesday, November 25th, 2015, and it is, in America, the day before Thanksgiving. So, what do you think we're going to discuss? Turkey! No. Gratitude. Gratitude, gratitude, gratitude. Because in this world of... Well, you heard the news just leading into my show. There is no threat here in the homeland. I'm sorry, but homeland is a little too close to fatherland for me. I apologize for that, but I really hate that phrase. Okay, that's just me. Anyway, I hope you all had a wonderful week. It is chilly here in New England, but the weather has been quite pretty. I hear we're going to get a little warmer for the week, kind of getting up to the 40s, 50s, which for us in New England, we barely wear coats for that. In the fall and nearly winter. I have lots of great videos to share with you. So I guess since I'm sharing them with you on the radio, I have lots of great audios for you. My oh my for this week is a personal story. If you follow me on Facebook, you know I've posted around needing some support around moving from worry to something more positive. And of course, the natural thing to think of with that is gratitude. But it was more than that, because I found that even while I was thinking I was worrying, even while I was being grateful, I was still worrying. And that was really tough, really, really tough. And I know enough to know that where I'm vibrating is where I'm attracting. And that's outrageously frustrating. So I put up to friends and colleagues if anybody could help. And I got some wonderful support. But what I got in what I also got is an offer for two coaching calls from a good friend of mine and colleague Maura Leon with Baby Pie Publishing. And I promise to talk a little more about Baby Pie in just a little bit. And we had our first call, and I got a lot from that. I got a lot from thinking in terms of being okay with whatever happened, being okay with however my husband reacts to talking about money. And if he has a problem, being grateful for the problem. Not grateful, but just okay with it, even. Just okay. And I made the decision to practice irresistibility. And for those of you who have seen my logo, passion is irresistible is my tagline, because it is. But the definition of irresistible is to cause to have no reason to resist. And I know I'm off on that one, so let me look that one up quickly. Definition of irresistibility. Oh my gosh, it comes up with irresponsible first. don't look that one up. Irresistible. Impossible to resist. Now, how many of you had grade school teachers who would have told you you can't use the word of the definition in the definition? So the word resist shouldn't be there. But you guys know what I mean. So I decided to practice irresistibility, and I had a really great week overall. And then she and I spoke again. Here's a better one. Lovable, especially calling forth feelings of protective love. Enticing, tempting to possess. Ooh, that's the adjective. I kind of like it. Anyway, ooh, what a strange sound I'm getting in my headphone. I hope you're not getting it. The next week, I spoke with her again. Actually, this was Monday. And we were talking, and you know, I was saying that, you know, you just can't have something come into your life thinking that that will be the be all and end all. I am so sorry about that. I thought we had fixed my internet problem. Apparently not. All right, back to my darling friend, who could be in a relationship anytime she wanted. She could start dating, no problem. But she knew that if she attracted somebody or dated somebody right now, it would be for all the wrong reasons and provide all the wrong things. And he would not be somebody good for her in the long run in any way, shape, or form. But right now in her life, she needs to be single. And then I got walloped. And this is my own mind. I got walloped with the knowledge that right now I need to be broke. And don't get me wrong, broke does not mean completely broke. I'm still here. I'm still paying most of my bills. But right now, at this period, I need to be broke because there are some things for me to learn. Because I needed to get rid of some things in my life that were there. Yes, they were earning me money, but they weren't part of my passion. They weren't part of my purpose. They were solely to make money. They were clogging up my life and my time. In my heart. And it's one of those times when I actually just sort of made myself cry. I couldn't believe that I had actually said those words. I need to be broke. I need to be in this space. And Maura asked me if in realizing it, I was now ready to leave it. Because sometimes the moment you realize something, you're ready to leave. And I'll reference Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz. The moment she realized why she needed home, why she was ready to go home, she was there. She no longer needed to stay in Oz. There are times, though, and I felt like this is one for me, one for me, where I need to stay here. So I'm going to let this be where it is and what it is for now, and trusting that the same way I wouldn't want an unhealthy relationship in my life just because I have the time for it or the desire for it, I don't want any more unhealthy jobs just because I have the need for money and the need for things and stuff like that. And I've found myself since Monday, so it's been a little over 2 days, just kind of repeating those words to myself. I need to be broke right now. And they don't bring up any fear, and they don't bring up any pain. There's actually quite a calm about it. And if you had told me a few weeks ago that I would be able to think that, say that, feel that, and not panic. It's not about it's okay to be broke now or I want to be broke now. No, this is what, sorry, everybody. This is what I need right now so that I can move to a next place. There's more for me, for all of us. And when we can get rid of the things that are holding us back, jobs, homes, people, places. We have amazing things to do and be and connections to have and be made. I'm going to take a sip of something here so I don't keep coughing. So I feel a real freeness and a real lightness because of this. Although I'm sure, for those of you who are fans of Louise Hay, my coughing, I'm sure, is saying something. I promised on the break I'll look it up and see what she has to say about coughing. But one of the things Maura reminded me of, and that's true for all of us, and that I wrote down, is I am a divine being, and I don't make mistakes. And so are you. You are a divine being, and you don't make mistakes. Wherever you are now is not a mistake. There's some reason you're here. There's a reason I'm in this place that feels like struggle and pain and discomfort. And it doesn't feel like struggle and pain and discomfort so much anymore, which is amazing. I'm going through a major change. I'm ripping off old layers. I'm becoming more of myself. I'm going to have more of what I want in my life. And in the process, I need to be broke for a little bit. So, that's my oh my. And since it only happened, as I said, about 2 days ago, it's still really resonating for me. Still sort of rattling around in my head along with everything else. And with the holidays coming up, the holiday coming up tomorrow, I thought it was something I'd start with. So as you can hear, I'm still fighting back that cough. I will continue to do so. Get another drink. But come back after the break. And join me, Rachel Kenley, here on the O-Spot on Open Times Radio.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Looking for inspiration?
Want to be inspired?
Not sure where to go?
Find Mark and Kim every Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern on Inspired Living.
Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience and all things spiritual.
Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
This is Julie Geigel.
I'm Maggie Chula.
And I'm Catherine Glass.
And we're the Psychic Angel Channelers. Join us every week here on Om Times Radio for Angel Talk Tuesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time.
The angels have heard your call and are here to help.
Are you ready to receive?
Remember your magnificence with Angel Talk Tuesday.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back to the O-Spot. I'm your host, Rachel Kenley. You can see a little bit of drinking helps a bit. Now, I did just check, and Louise Hay says that coughing is feeling a deep need to make a point. I'm making a point. Sheesh! So sorry. Okay. Desire to bark at the world Listen to me. I don't know. I think I just have a cold. Yeah. I am not feeling the desire to bark at the world. Hey, who knows? Maybe I am. All right. So alchemyofhealing.com, causes of symptoms, according to Louise Hay. Huge symptoms list. Really fascinating. Some of them might give you some interesting insights into things that are going on for you in your body and things like that. Look, there's itching. I've been itching a lot recently. Desires that go against the grain, unsatisfied, remorse, itching to get out or get away. Oh, it's probably that shedding of my skin things, you know, the changing. Who knows? All right, enough of that. I'll just keep coughing in your ear if you don't mind. All right, so I have three different videos/audios to play for you today, and they're short. They'll fit into each section. One of them I came across accidentally, actually. The truth is, if you look up the power of gratitude on Google, with my cookies, in 0.48 seconds, I get 46,300,000 results. That's a lot. And if you hit videos, you get a bunch. Hit images, you get a bunch. I mean, images, the power of gratitude, and I am grateful for ... The more you express gratitude for what you have, the more more things you'll have to express gratitude for, which is Zig Ziglar. Cicero, going back to the ancient times, gratitude is not only the greatest of virtues, but the parent of all others, because what we've learned about gratitude, and I don't know if this amazes me or surprises me or not. I think it's a little bit of both. But it turns out that gratitude is truly medically provably transformative. People talk about the mind-body connection, the emotion and body connection, and gratitude is the be-all and end-all of where that begins, which amazes me that it's, I mean, don't get me wrong, not that gratitude is powerful. I know that, but it is that powerful. According to an article in the Huffington Post, 3 decades ago, Martin Seligman and a colleague launched the field of positive psychology. Here began the scientific study of emotions such as gratitude, optimism, forgiveness, happiness, compassion, and altruism. At the time, this was a revolutionary idea in the field of psychology. So 30 years ago, this was revolutionary. Most of the data about humans' emotion had previously been focused on negative psychology, such as mental illness, trauma, addiction, and stress. What we have learned is that cultivating personal attributes fortifies us during times of adversity and emotional turmoil and leads to greater happiness and resilience. Moreover, of all the attributes one can develop, gratitude is the most strongly associated with mental health. Gratitude is our emotion that relates to our ability to feel and express thankfulness and appreciation. Traditionally, the study of this emotion has been relegated to the fields of theology and philosophy. In 2007, Robert Emmons, which is E-M-M-O-N-S, began researching gratitude through a psychological lens. He found that expressing gratitude improves mental, physical, and relational well-being. Being grateful also impacts the overall experience of happiness, and these effects tend to be long-lasting. So the benefits of gratitude are, and this is kind of amazing, improved physical, emotional, and social well-being. Emotional and social, we knew, but truthfully, improved physical well-being, greater optimism and happiness, improved feelings of connection in times of loss or crisis, increased self-esteem, heightened energy levels, strengthened heart immune system, and decreased blood pressure. It actually makes your heart healthier. Really and truly. It improves your immune system. If you're grateful, you will get fewer colds and be sick less. Maybe I should be grateful for my cough. Expanded capacity for forgiveness, decreased stress, anxiety, depression, and headaches, improved self-care, and greater likelihood to exercise, and of course a heightened spirituality and the ability to see something bigger than ourselves. So this is one of the reasons why gratitude journals have been just so incredibly powerful and such big sellers and all of that. So you can look up gratitude exercises and training the brain for positivity and gratitude. You can meditate using gratitude. And I may come back to this. But one of the TED Talks I found is from a woman named Tanya Lunar, who left her home in a post-Chernobyl Ukraine to take asylum in the U.S. And she has gone on to start a company called surpriseindustries.com. Now, you may not see the connection between surprise and gratitude, but Surprise Industries, according to their website, is a community of surpriseologists. Don't you love how we make up words in English? Individuals who are passionate about stepping into the unknown and designing experiences that interrupt patterns. We believe that life is richest when we shake up routine and embrace surprise. So why do we take surprise so seriously? Surprise intensifies our emotions by about 400%. How's that? Makes special occasions even specialer. Our happiest memories contain an element of surprise. So think about that. Surprise deepens and surprise brightens our relationships. And we feel most comfortable when things are certain, but we feel most alive when they are not. So she has a book about surprise, and her TED Talk is about how a small surprise made her feel grateful. So this is Tanya Lunar, how a penny made me feel like a millionaire.
I'm 5 years old, and I am very proud. My father has just built the best outhouse in our little village in Ukraine. Inside, it's a smelly, gaping hole in the ground, but outside, it's pearly white formica, and it literally gleams in the sun. This makes me feel so proud, so important, that I appoint myself the leader of my little group of friends, and I devise missions for us. So we prowl from house to house, looking for flies captured in spider webs, and we set them free. 4 years earlier, when I was one, after the Chernobyl accident, the rain came down black. My sister's hair fell out in clumps, and I spent 9 months in the hospital. There were no visitors allowed, so my mother bribed a hospital worker, she acquired a nurse's uniform, and she snuck in every night to sit by my side. 5 years later, an unexpected silver lining. Thanks to Chernobyl, we get asylum in the U.S. I am 6 years old, and I don't cry when we leave home and we come to America because I expect it to be a place filled with rare and wonderful things like bananas and chocolate and bazooka bubblegum. Bazooka bubblegum with the little cartoon wrappers inside. Bazooka that we'd get once a year in Ukraine and we'd have to chew one piece for an entire week. So the first day we get to New York, my grandmother and I find a penny in the floor of the homeless shelter that my family's staying in. Only we don't know that it's a homeless shelter. We think that it's a hotel with lots of rats. So we find this penny kind of fossilized in the floor, and we think that a very wealthy man must have left it there because regular people don't just lose money. I hold this penny in the palm of my hand, and it's sticky and rusty, but it feels like I'm holding a fortune. I decide that I'm going to get my very own piece of bazooka bubblegum. And in that moment, I feel like a millionaire. About a year later, I get to feel that way again when we find a bag full of stuffed animals in the trash. And suddenly I have more toys than I've ever had in my whole life. And again, I get that feeling when we get a knock on the door of our apartment in Brooklyn, and my sister and I find a delivery man with a box of pizza that we didn't order. So we take the pizza, our very first pizza, And we devour slice after slice as the delivery man stands there and stares at us from the doorway. And he tells us to pay, but we don't speak English. My mother comes out and he asks her for money, but she doesn't have enough. She walks 50 blocks to and from work every day just to avoid spending money on bus fare. Then our neighbor pops her head in and she turns red with rage when she realizes that those immigrants from downstairs have somehow gotten their hands on her pizza. Everyone's upset, but the pizza is delicious. It doesn't hit me until years later just how little we had. On our 10-year anniversary of being in the U.S., we decided to celebrate by reserving a room at the hotel that we first stayed in when we got to the U.S. The man at the front desk laughs, and he says, "You can't reserve a room here. This is a homeless shelter." And we were shocked. My husband, Brian, was also homeless as a kid. His family lost everything, and at age 11, he had to live in motels with his dad. Motels that would round up all of their food and keep it hostage until they were able to pay the bill. And one time, when he finally got his box of Frosted Flakes back, it was crawling with roaches. But he did have one thing. He had this shoebox that he carried with him everywhere, containing 9 comic books, 2 G.I. Joes painted to look like Spider-Man, and 5 GoBots, and this was his treasure. This was his own assembly of heroes that kept him from drugs and gangs and from giving up on his dreams. I want to tell you about one more formerly homeless member of our family. This is Scarlett. Once upon a time, Scarlett was used as bait in dog fights. She was tied up and thrown into the ring for other dogs to attack so they get more aggressive before the fight. And...
oh. Okay, I'm sorry, she's got like another minute or so, and I will finish that when we come back. Thank you for listening with me. I'm Rachel Kenley. This is The O Spot, and you're listening to Om Times Radio.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
Eros Evolution is where sexuality and spirituality meets. Join me, clinical sexologist Martha Tara Lee, on Eros Evolution on Thursdays, 4 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Are you ready to shift your energy, consciousness, and limiting beliefs? Join me, Shefali Burns, every Monday at 5 p.m. Eastern on Shifting with Shefali here on Om Times Radio. Shift the blocks, limitations, and negative energies that have kept you from experiencing a life filled with joy, peace, love, abundance, and happiness. Are you ready to shift with Shefali? Are you ready to shine your brilliance?
The cutting edge of conscious radio. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Welcome back to The O Spot. And your host, coughing Rachel Kenley. Beats me. All right, so I'm back and we're back. And I'm going to let Tanya talk so I don't cough in your ear some more. She's talking about this sweet dog who's clearly got a lot of scars, but beautiful. Scarlett, this is the end of her talk, how a penny made me feel like a millionaire.
Now, these days, she eats organic food and she sleeps on an orthopedic bed with her name on it, but when we pour water for her in her bowl, she still looks up and she wags her tail in gratitude. Sometimes Brian and I walk through the park with Scarlett, and she rolls through the grass, and we just look at her, and we look at each other, and we feel gratitude. We forget about all of our new middle-class frustrations and disappointments, and we feel like millionaires.
There we go. That's the end of Tanya's story. So her company is called SurpriseIndustries.com. She does have a video about Surprise on there, but I wanted to play her video about what made her feel like a millionaire, because I know we all have things in our life that make us feel amazing. The little things that we look to, hold to, won't ever, ever, ever let go. Because when we see them, the feeling that it brings us is so empowering and so amazing that we couldn't imagine giving it up. So my next audio for you is Brian Doyle, who's a young man, actually, and he's speaking at, this was recorded at TEDx Youth in San Diego in 2013. And so he's only a little older than this now. And he's going to talk about a near-death experience that happened to him and how he... I am so sorry, everyone. And how he allowed it to change him and what that change has meant in his life. So this is 365 Days of Thank You, Brian Doyle, at TEDx Youth San Diego.
I was so close to dying that day, and I was only 18 years old. Let me take you back. On January 1st, 2012, I was in a car with two of my best friends. We had just rung in the new year, shopping, listening to music, just doing things as usual. And on the drive home that day, on a road actually not too far from here, there was a car on the other side of the street that started to flash its bright lights at me, repeatedly, annoyingly. And it turned out that what it was trying to do was alert me of a car in my lane on the wrong side of the road, coming directly at us at a speed much faster than we were going. And before I knew it, it was so close that I could actually read the letters and the numbers of the license plate. And that's when I realized that if I did not move our car right then, we would be dead. After a quick swerve and just barely missing the car, we stabilized on the side of the road and were finally able to catch a breath. I had tears in my eyes. We had almost just died. And with my hands clamped on the steering wheel and my mind racing, I remember thinking of one thing in particular. And that was, where did I stand in that moment with the relationships in my life? I thought about when I left the house that morning. What were the last words that I said to my mom? Did I say, I love you? Or did I just rush out the door like usual? And I thought about my friends, be it my best friends or those who I hadn't spoken to in years. And did they know how much I appreciated them? I went home that night incredibly flustered, and I thought about this for a while, about 11 months actually, until Thanksgiving Day last year, when I found myself in New York City in my aunt's apartment, sitting on her couch, about to go to sleep for the night. I was on my phone, as we all are, flicking through the Facebook statuses of the day, and I could see how people were expressing their thanks and their gratitude to those in their lives. And as I kept scrolling, I suddenly became so puzzled, and I thought to myself, why on earth does this have to just be one day? Or better yet, why only here online? Why can't we do something more, something deeper, something more meaningful? And that's when the light bulb went off in my head. I sat up, and I literally said out loud, I have an idea. So, naturally, I told my world. I made a Facebook status about it, and I said that I had this idea where for the next 365 days, I was going to try and say thank you to one person every single day with no repeats. I would either call them up or I would sit down with them in person, and I would tell them thank you for the meaning that they've had in my life, for the impact that they had made. And at the end of the day, I would write a blog post about them, first speaking to their individuality and then thanking them again for all that they had done. Now, at the time, it was just an idea, and I had absolutely no clue where this would take me, but I went for it. So I started the next day, The first person I thanked was my best friend in a coffee shop in New York City, and it felt so different, but it was so much fun at the same time. Nonetheless, boom, one down, 364 to go. Now, as I continued, I thanked different high school teachers, I thanked different mentors in my life, artists, friends, and before I knew it, I found myself at number 170, my dad. Now, I knew I wanted to thank him in person, so I waited until I flew home from school, and on my first day back, I found myself with him on the golf course, a place we hadn't been together in years. And as the day went on, I kept trying to find him alone, but it was tough, and I was nervous. So nervous, in fact, that when I finally had him sitting alone on a bench, waiting for the couple in front of us to play, I could literally feel my heart pounding in my chest. And I remember thinking to myself, why? All you're doing is saying thank you to him. That's literally it. But this was new. This was different. I had never, in my entire life, just sat down with my dad only to say thank you. Never. Now, as I finally started the conversation, I thanked him for everything. I thanked him for the lessons I had learned from him and for the adventures we'd been on together and for the foods that he's made me try, reluctantly, and for the times when he'd pull me back on a walk and say, Brian, come here. Look at the way the sunlight is hitting that cloud right now. Isn't that gorgeous? I thanked him for how he's helped develop me into who I am today. His reaction was humble, and yet we would embark on a two-hour conversation about our relationship, and ever since, I feel like something has been unlocked. I felt like I've been more open with him, and I felt happier. I felt like I had released this secret that I've kept hidden forever. And yes, I'm gay, and he's known that for years. But for some reason, voicing my appreciation to him was more nerve-wracking and more stressful than coming out to my own father as gay. Why is that? All I was doing was saying thank you to him. That's it. Again, it's because I had never done this. It was foreign to me. And yet, ever since, our bond has grown so much stronger, more tangible, much more real. Now, I pushed Vaughn forward, and I thanked my kindergarten teacher, I thanked my high school soccer coach, I thanked other friends of mine, and I found myself at number 249. I was back here in San Diego for a few weeks over the summer, and on the drive home that day, I pulled over to the side of the road to take a phone call from my friend Kayla back in D.C. And as I was on the phone with her, I was looking through the window of my car, and I could see this guy walking with his mom. And as he got about parallel to my car, I realized that, oh, that was David. Now, David was this kid who I had gone to elementary school with. And truthfully, I'd never said more than 10 words to him growing up, and neither him to me. But I noticed him. You see, David has Asperger's syndrome. And growing up, he was bullied. A lot. And I was always amazed at how he would just let the comments roll off his back. How he would keep his head held high through it all. And I realized how much I learned from him. I learned how to be proud of who I am. I learned how to be confident. I learned how to have a thick skin. And as I was remembering all of this, it just clicked. And I literally dropped the phone with Kayla still on the line, and I rolled down the window, and I yelled across the street, David, can you come here for a second? I want to tell you something. As he came over, I reminded him who I was, and I thanked him right there through the window for the influence that he's had in my life. And as I was doing that, his mom, who was standing just a few steps back, with her hands over her face, I could tell that she was crying. And that's when I realized that maybe David has never heard this before. Think about that. You see, people don't know we appreciate them unless we show it, unless we verbalize it. We hope they do, and we think that they know, and we assume that they know. But they honestly just don't unless we tell them. Now, as I've continued, this has become more than just a project. It's become a way of life for me. It's become natural. Truthfully told, I honestly cannot remember what it feels like to not say thank you to someone like this every single day. I wake up every morning, and the first thing I think is, who am I going to say thank you to today? And for what? Instead of, man, this class is going to suck. And then I spend the rest of my day looking for the good, and honestly, it is absolutely everywhere. But in reality, we all appreciate, right? I know we at least think about it, but how often do we actually say it? I spend a lot of time and months now thinking about how do I want to end my project, my 365th thank you, rounding out my year, completing this journey. And after months of deliberation and stress, I know that I found the perfect fit for it. My 365th thank you is actually to all of you, right here in front of me. All of you are sitting here with such eager eyes and bright minds and truly have the potential, the unlimited potential, to change our community right here and our world at large. And for that, I have to say thank you. Thank you so much just for listening and for being open to these new ideas and experiences and for taking what you've heard here today and for putting it into action tomorrow. And with that, I really want to call on us to think about these people in our lives that we appreciate, those that we have gratitude for, those that we're thankful for, whether it's a best friend who you've known for years, or maybe it's a loved one, or maybe it's somebody who held the door open for you here today, and really think about what have they played a role in your life. And let's not stop there. Let's say it. Let's tell them before it's too late. Thank you so much.
So that's definitely been on my mind, that we make such a big deal out of Thanksgiving. We make a big deal out of the places that are open on Thanksgiving. You know, that, oh my God, isn't it terrible there are places open on Thanksgiving? There are hospitals and hotels open on Thanksgiving, too. And I don't know if I'd necessarily call hotels necessary workers. There are people working at rest stops, toll booths, all sorts of places. And if you look at those folks, you'll notice a distinct economic and racial bend to who's working there. So Thanksgiving and gratitude. It's lovely to have the day off tomorrow. Come on, no two ways about it. And it's great because lots of us have Friday off too. But the truth is, gratitude needs to be a part of every day. Just like I believe, this is the reason I don't like Valentine's Day, because I think romance and love should be a part of our lives every day, that we should be looking for ways to make that kind of connection with the people in our lives. So too should we be looking to make the gratitude connection. All right. One more audio, one more oh wow to go. Come back on the O Spot with me, Rachel Kenley, here on Om Times.
Bringing you the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hey ladies, do you want to have that good hair day feeling all the time? Gentlemen, would you want your special someone to have that glow, letting you know she's feeling completely satisfied? This feeling and that glow can be yours by embracing your sexual power. So join me, Rachel Kenley, award-winning romance author, on The O-Spot. The O-Spot will guide you to that peak with guest interviews, book discussions, and conversations on the thrills of sexual empowerment. Put the zing back in your life. Come up and see me sometime on The O-Spot, live on Hump Day at 10 p.m. Eastern.
Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Dr. Kevin here, and I want to invite you every Thursday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, to join me on the Dr. Kevin Show, where we have a diversity of guests who help you step outside the box, behind the curtain, and see what a load of crap is going on in the world today, so you have more information with which to make better decisions. We'll see you there. Namaste.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back to the final cough. The final segment of the O-Spot. I'm your host, Rachel Kenley, as you just heard from my promo from the sixth week in a row. I'm so glad I'm advertised on my own show, because I would hate to think you weren't going to listen to me in the future. All right.
Andy Puddicombe, and I hope that's how he pronounces it, because it's spelled Puddicombe, says, all it takes is 10 mindful minutes to make a huge change in our lives. And a lot of us are going to be surrounded by people for the next 24, maybe even 48 hours. And I know for me that is hugely difficult, because if you ever meet me in person, you'll see I'm outgoing, I'm sociable, I like to talk, I love to meet new people. But by definition, I am an introvert. I am somebody who gets filled up by my time on my own. And at conferences and conventions and things like that, I actually seek out quiet time, time where I can be by myself, because that's how I recharge. So in this upcoming craziness, to be able to find 10 minutes where you can be mindful and quiet could be a huge benefit to you. And he is billed as a mindfulness expert, and he describes the transformative power of doing just that, refreshing your mind for 10 minutes a day simply by being mindful and experiencing the present moment. And as he says, no need for incense or sitting in strange positions. So this is his 9-minute audio, also a TED Talk. It was uploaded January 11th, 2013. Andy Puddicombe.
We live in an incredibly busy world. The pace of life is often frantic, our minds are always busy, and we're always doing something. So with that in mind, I'd like you just to take a moment to think, when did you last take any time to do nothing? Just 10 minutes, undisturbed. And when I say nothing, I do mean nothing. So that's no emailing, texting, no internet, no TV, no chatting, no eating, no reading. Not even sitting there reminiscing about the past or planning for the future. Simply doing nothing. I see a lot of very blank faces. My thinking is it's probably have to go a long way back. And this is an extraordinary thing, right? We're talking about our mind. The mind, our most valuable and precious resource through which we experience every single moment of our life. The mind that we rely upon to be happy, content, emotionally stable as individuals, and at the same time to be kind and thoughtful and considerate in our relationships with others. This is the same mind that we depend upon to be focused, creative, spontaneous, and to perform at our very best in everything that we do. And yet, we don't take any time out to look after it. In fact, we spend more time looking after our cars, our clothes, and our hair than we... Okay, maybe not our hair, but you see where I'm going. The result, of course, is that we get stressed. You know, the mind whizzes away like a washing machine going round and round, lots of difficult, confusing emotions. And we don't really kind of know how to deal with that. And the sad fact is that we are so distracted that we're no longer present in the world in which we live. We miss out on the things that are most important to us. And the crazy thing is that everybody just assumes, well, that's the way life is, so we just kind of got to get on with it. That's really not how it has to be. So I was about 11 when I went along to my first meditation class. And trust me, I had all the stereotypes that you can imagine, sitting cross-legged on the floor, the incense, the herbal tea, the vegetarians, the whole deal. But my mum was going and I was intrigued, so I went along with her. I'd also seen a few kung fu movies, and secretly I kind of thought I might be able to learn how to fly, but I was very young at the time, you know. Now, as I was there, you know, I guess like a lot of people, I assumed that it was just an aspirin for the mind. You get stressed, you do some meditation. I hadn't really thought that it could be sort of preventative in nature. Until I was about sort of 20, when a number of things happened in my life in quite quick succession, really serious things, which just flipped my life upside down. And all of a sudden, I was inundated with thoughts, inundated with difficult emotions that I didn't know how to cope with. Every time I sort of pushed one down, another one would just sort of pop back up again. It was a really very stressful time. I guess we all deal with stress in different ways. Some people will bury themselves in work, grateful for the distraction. Others will turn to their friends, their family, looking for support. Some people hit the bottle, start taking medication. My own way of dealing with it was to become a monk. So I quit my degree, I headed off to the Himalayas, I became a monk, and I started studying meditation. People often ask me, you know, what I learned from that time. Well, obviously it changed things, you know. Let's face it, becoming a celibate monk is going to change a number of things. But it was more than that. You know, it taught me, it gave me a greater appreciation and understanding for the present moment. By that, I mean not being lost in thought, not being distracted, not being overwhelmed by difficult emotions, but instead learning how to be in the here and now, how to be mindful, how to be present. I think the present moment is so underrated, sounds so ordinary, and yet we spend so little time in the present moment that it's anything but ordinary. There was a research paper that came out of Harvard just recently that said, on average, our minds are lost in thought almost 47% of the time. 47%. At the same time, this sort of constant mind wandering is also a direct cause of unhappiness. Now, we're not here for that long anyway. But to spend almost half of our life lost in thought and potentially quite unhappy, I don't know. It kind of seems tragic, actually, especially when there's something we can do about it. When there's a positive, practical, achievable, scientifically proven technique which allows our mind to be more healthy, to be more mindful and less distracted. And the beauty of it is that even though it kind of need only take about 10 minutes a day, it impacts our entire life. But we need to know how to do it. We need an exercise, we need a framework to learn how to be more mindful. That's essentially what meditation is. It's familiarizing ourselves with the present moment. But we also need to know how to approach it in the right way to get the best from it. And that's what these are for, in case you've been wondering. Because most people assume that meditation is all about sort of stopping thoughts, getting rid of emotions, somehow controlling the mind. But actually, it's quite different from that. It's more about sort of stepping back, sort of seeing the thought clearly, witnessing it coming and going, emotions coming and going without judgment, but with a relaxed, focused mind. So, for example, right now, if I focus too much on the balls, then there's no way that I can relax and talk to you at the same time. Equally, if I relax too much talking to you, then there's no way I can focus on the balls. I'm going to drop them. Now, in life and in meditation, there'll be times when the focus becomes a little bit too intense and life starts to feel a bit like this. It's a very uncomfortable way to live life when we get this tight and stressed. At other times, we might take our foot off the gas a little bit too much. And things just become a sort of bit like this. And of course, in meditation, we can end up falling asleep. So we're looking for a balance, a focused relaxation where we can allow thoughts to come and go without all the usual involvement. Now, what usually happens when we're learning to be mindful is that we get distracted by a thought. Let's say this is an anxious thought. So everything's going fine, and then we see the anxious thought, and it's like, oh, didn't realize I was worried about that. You go back to it, repeat it. Oh, I am worried. Oh, I really am worried. Wow, there's so much anxiety. And before we know it, right, we're anxious about feeling anxious. You know, this is crazy. We do this all the time, even on an everyday kind of level. If you think about the last time, I don't know, you had a wobbly tooth. You know it's wobbly, and you know that it hurts. But what do? Every 20, 30 seconds? I don't know. It does hurt. And we reinforce the storyline, right? And we just keep telling ourselves. And we do it all the time. And it's only in learning to watch the mind in this way that we can start to let go of those storylines and patterns of mind. But when you sit down and you watch the mind in this way, you might see many different patterns. You might find a mind that's really sort of restless and the whole time, you know. Don't be surprised if you feel a bit agitated in your body when you sit down to do nothing and your mind feels like that. You might find a mind that's very sort of dull and boring and it's just almost mechanical. It just sort of seems as if you're just sort of getting up, going to work, eat, sleep, get up, burp, Or it might just be that one little nagging thought that just goes round and round and round your mind. Whatever it is, meditation offers the opportunity, the potential to step back and to get a different perspective, to see that things aren't always as they appear. You know, we can't change every little thing that happens to us in life, but we can change the way that we experience it. That's the potential of meditation, of mindfulness. You don't have to burn any incense, and you definitely don't have to sit on the floor. All you need to do is to take 10 minutes out a day to step back, to familiarize yourself with the present moment so that you get to experience a greater sense of focus, calm, and clarity.
That's the oh wow I'm going to leave you with. Take time in these next few days, in the next week, for you. For you. Be grateful for you and all that you do in your life. I'm even going to try to be grateful for this bloody cough. Happy Thanksgiving to all those who celebrate it. Be grateful, be happy, be you, and join me next week on the O Spot. I'm Rachel Kenley. Good night.